Nachyomi for the Orthodox Union, Sefer Tehillim, the Book of Psalms, Parakuf Tes Zayin, Chapter 116. This is Rabbi Binny Marilis. Chapter 116 is another of the chapters in Hallel that in our liturgy is broken up into two. Verses 1 through 11, Aleph through Yud Aleph, make up one paragraph in our davening, and Yud Bey's verse 12 through the end make up a second. By virtue of that, as I mentioned previously, we have grown accustomed to the notion that perhaps they're separate chapters, which is clearly not the case. They are, in fact, one. There is a unifying idea that's running through the two. And by virtue of the fact that there's a unifying idea running through the two, it makes it more complicated in splitting them up. The purpose of the split and how that is and why that is beyond the scope of our conversation. We are not learning tefillah in the sense that we're not learning the liturgy, but we are learning the mizmorim. Parakuf Tezayin is somewhat different than perhaps what we've seen just previously. It's a very personal, individualized prayer, albeit it may be sung in a concert or in unison or in choir, as it was the case in the Mikdash. Nonetheless, it's a very personal note. The Nesiv Bina, in his introduction, where he discusses the structure, mentions that that helps with Tfilas HaTzibur. Even though it's an individualized language, it relates to everybody, and everyone saying it together allows it to be more meaningful, more rigshi, and more heartfelt in that way. For the sake of our discussion, we're going to establish that there are essentially three main sections to break down our text. Two very short sections, and then one very long one in the middle. So we have Aleph and Beis is one, Gimel verse 3 through Yud Zayin is going to be two, and Yud Ches and Yud Tes 18 and 19 make up section 3. Now that section, that structure is based on Rabbi Yechelim and his article, which is much to be to agree with in that breakup. Even as when we break it up in the davening, it's through 11. So what we have here is essentially a person who is suffering greatly and davens to Hashem, asks Hashem to save them from really the grips of death. They're at death's door, they're on the edge, they're close, and they need to be saved. And what they will do in being saved and how can they offer praise in those moments of being saved when God offers them salvation and gives them, let's say it's refuah. There are a variety of ways of understanding that and understanding the entire Mizmor. I'll share with you just a couple that are very different. The Meiri writes, Zeh Mizmor Amru David al Tzaro Savi Barcho Heino Vaheina Mibnei Yiras Shaul. So he says, this Mizmor is written on all of the suffering that David felt when he's running away, from Shaul. And when he's going here from there and there from here, all these different places. Kashir Tziloso Elohim Kulam, when Hashem saved him from all of them, Amar Zeh Mizmor, he said this prayer, Musav al Shiraso Hayidua, as an addition to what he already has stated in other places, namely in Shmuel Beis, Perachav Beis, and Tehillim, Perak Yud Ches. Sforno, differently, offers quite an alternative in the introduction. He says the author is talking about some later date. Some later date is a point after the Churban HaBayis, the second destruction. And then Kibbutz Galios, Kodem Yemos HaMashiach, and the return of the exiles prior to the days of Mashiach, V'Hispalel Aleim. The person is praying on those days and in those moments. I'll share with you also at the outset, before we actually get into the text, and we'll go through it, with some good depth. From the Nesiv Bina, it's a very, very interesting understanding as to what's going on here. And he says like this, if you have the Nesiv Bina, again, I urge you to use it on a regular basis when studying the davening, studying the liturgy, and studying anything that we do say on any of the holidays, on Shabbos, during the day, during the week. For a real great depth, real great understanding for all the crucial concepts. So he says on page 289 in the second volume, he's dealing with This is the third volume, I apologize, dealing with Hallel. And he says, this is what's going on. Ahavti ki yishma Hashem es kolit ha'achanunai, quoting the first verse, Ahava ahavti b'muvneha mekori shel mila, he says, the word, the root of the word is ratzitzi to'avti bokashti. I desire, I want, I request. Kidako haisa lahatos li ozen, because it was that Hashem, you can imagine the image, sort of understand that we've seen that image before, the idea that Hashem bends his ear to the person to hear better. Kishakarati biyamai klomar bimeitzarusai. When I'm in my difficult days and I call out to Hashem, so Hashem answers me. So I find myself in these terrible situations. I find myself at great depths and great danger. Aval shomer psoim Hashem. Hashem watches over. Hashem is mindful of. Hashem ozir davka lami shetamimu peti. Hashem is watching. Hashem helps all those who are simple and pure. Lami shehudal, someone who is weak. Ve'no yachol la'azor l'atzmo, can't help himself. So he speaks about himself. Shuvi navshi l'muchachaychi ki Hashem gamal alaychi. Right? My soul should return to rest. Because Hashem has given kindness to me. What he's saying is that this whole tefillah, the whole notion of what's going on, is that you have a person here who's in a great dangerous situation, and he's offering this up, and he's requesting Hashem such great help. And then, after it happens, essentially, he's confident it's going to happen. We've seen that in other mizmorim. He then, in the second half, deals with what can I offer in return as a thank you to Hashem. Ma ashiv, like what is there that I could possibly offer that would match what it is, Hashem, that you have given me. To understand the first verse, and now we'll begin. Ahavti ki yishma Adonai es koli ta'achanunai. Literally, I love that Hashem should hear my voice and my supplications. That's the literal understanding. So there are a variety of ways to understand that text. I'll share with you the Metzudas David, who we've been quoting more regularly. He says, Saris HaMikra, the text is really written out of order. And rather, it should be read, understood as follows. Ahavti Hashem, I love Hashem, ki yishma es koli ve'es ta'achanunai. Because he listens to my supplications and my tefillos, the way we sort of understood the English. V'im kein madhim lahavo, then it's wonderful, right? It's perfect, makes perfect sense to love him. Differently, Rashi says, that to'afti sheyishma Hashem es koli. I desire, have great desire, that Hashem should love me. Rabbi Yechonon, in his article, quotes a very, very interesting approach to this idea, and it says that ahavti is sort of almost out of place, like ahavti what? Ahavti who? What does that mean? So he says perhaps it means heveti, that it's a play on words, that it's like the term hav that we've seen in other places, hav al Hashem hu yechal kalecha, give onto. So here it means I'm going to give to Hashem. Right, I'm going to offer a karban by virtue of the fact that Hashem listens to tachanunai. Or as the way the Ibn Ezra sort of adds a bays in there, when Hashem hears the kol, the voice of my tachanunim. Right? When he hears es kol tachanunai. Kol bitachanunim. When my kol is bitachanunim, when I am offering supplications, Hashem listens to me, then I have love. So a very interesting approach the Rabbi Yechonon offers in his article. And otherwise, it's very difficult to understand a hafti key. How does that work? How does the key work? Is it because? Is it when? Is it that? There's so many ways to sort of approach it. And then koli tachanunai, it's either the ko of tachanunai, or koli and tachanunai, then it would be koli v'tachanunai. It's very hard to grasp. He quotes from the Malbim. The Malbim sort of puts the middle section of the verse in the parentheses, and he says, Ahavti, it's essentially Ahavti tachanunai. I love offering petitions and tefillos to Hashem, and in parentheses, by the way, Hashem likes to hear them too. And then the beautiful image of Ki Yitaz Noli V'Yamai Yekra, literally because Hashem inclines his ear to me, and therefore I will call upon him in my days. In the approach that it's a have with the idea of giving. So V'Yamai doesn't mean days; it means an oath. With my oath, I will call out to Hashem. With that which I am going to give over to Hashem, then I will call out to Hashem. I will call out to him with an oath. In my supplication, in the response to my supplication and my prayers, I will offer an oath, I will offer a gift, I will offer something in return. So that's section one. It's the Hakdama to now the major section of the text, which is the Tefillah. Afafuni, verse 3. Afafuni chevle maves mitzarei she'o mitzauni tzarav yagon emtza. Notice the alliteration of the tzadis in the words. It adds with the poetic nature of the text, of the tefillah nature of the text. Afafuni, the cords of death encompassed me. Afafuni is that they surrounded me. Sivavuni, they are around, they are surrounding me. Umitzarei she'ol mitzauni, and the bands of Sheol, of the nether regions, Mitzauni, have found me. They hold me. I'll say hold me because Tzarav Yagon Emtza, that I have found trouble and sorrow. I'm in a place of near death. I could say perhaps that it's enemies. The enemies have found me and they're collecting me, they're coming after me. You can sort of see the image. The person is either hiding out in a spot, they're hiding in a corner hoping to not be seen, or they're running, and you could see the enemy sort of running after them, trying to rope them in, trying to catch them, trying to collect them. The person is in great danger, in great straits. This is the situation that they're in. And then, uv'shem Adonai ekra, I will call out to Hashem, Ana Adonai malta nafshi. I ask Hashem to deliver my soul, to rescue me, to save me, to deliver me from my danger. Notice also, from a technical standpoint, V'shem Hashem Ekra appears in our text three times. Three times. Here, at the beginning of verse 4, at the end of verse 13, and then at the end of verse 17. You can see how we can bracket off our verses, perhaps instead of having it at the beginning of verse 3, but perhaps the beginning of verse 4. But here really is now the beginning of the supplication. So you could say that the supplication is beginning now, and therefore the beginning and the end of the supplication are bracketed with the idea of Hashem Hashem Ekra. It would require an explanation of verse 13, perhaps, if we have time. We'll get to that when we get to verse 13. Chanun Adonai v'tzadik ve'eloheinu mirachem. Hashem is gracious. Hashem is righteous. Hashem offers compassion. Notice as well in the structure of the text that verse 3 is a three-part verse, right? After Maves is a psik, is a pause. After Mitzaoni is a pause, and after, obviously, Emtza. And then after, the next set of verses are all twos, which allows us to imply, as we did previously, that Afafuni sort of begins a section. Shomer psoim Adonai dalosi v'liyahoshia. It doesn't mean that a person necessarily is simple, but perhaps peti is someone who is easily corrupted, someone who's easily seduced, someone who's easily convinced to behave in a manner that they should not be. Hashem is a shomer psoim. Hashem watches over, preserves the simple. Dalosi v'liyoshia. When I am low, dal, we usually have an implication of someone who is poor. Perhaps it means someone who is weak. Perhaps it means someone who is spiritually poor, not physically in danger, but spiritually so. Hashem is mindful. Hashem is careful. Hashem is someone who's watching over them. Says the Radak, on what does mean pesi, sort of what we just said. Ki a pesi she'ein yodei tach bulani hinatzel mira'aso. Someone who's like that, a Pesi, is someone who simply doesn't know how to find their way out of danger. What about them? Ha'el Shomro. Ha'el Shomro. God watches them. Kishemesim alav bitchono. When he puts his security or his faith in God. V'chein, so too, ha'chacham lo yiftach b'chachmaso b'tachpulosav. A wise person doesn't necessarily believe or have faith necessarily in their wisdom. It's not going to help him. Unless Hashem wants. Unless Hashem wants to. Aval zachar pisaim. In the Pasuk, he reminds us specifically about a Pesi, not anybody else. They have no other way. They have no other way out. They have no other way of seeing it differently. They're completely clueless. They're lost. Now a very interesting text. Verse 7. Pasuk Zion. The author, the Meshorah, David HaMelech, literally turns within himself. Shuvi nafshi limenuchaychi. Speaking to his own soul, my soul be comforted, my soul rest. Be calm, be still. Ki Adonai gamal alaychi. Hashem is taking care of me. Hashem is going to, has acts kindly to me. The way the Malbim explains it, almost Hashem pays it off, for good and for bad. But Hashem pays it off. This is all, don't, have no fear. Be still, be calm. Notice again the interesting language of Chaychi and Alaychi in the text. It's again for poetic license, for poetic beauty. Person is calming themselves in this danger. Why? Ki chilatz danavshi mimaves, es eini midima, es ragli midachi, es haleich lifnei Adonai b'ratos hachayim. Stop there for a moment. Two verses together, 8 and 9. Ki chilatz danavshi mimaves, you have delivered my soul from death, es eini midima, my eyes from tears, es ragli midachi, my feet from stumbling, es haleich, I walk lifnei Adonai before God, ba'artzos hachaim, in the lands of the living. It's a progression, you notice in the text. From death, right, from the person being a dead, the person in their tears and their fear, a person in their walking, a person in their legs, and the person in their movement. They are sort of on steps, a progression. Notice as well in the content that there's a shift in the manner of the language. It's Shuvi Navshi, and now it's Ki Chilatzta. Now a person is speaking directly. You, facing Hashem, you Hashem, for you Hashem have delivered my soul. You have taken the tears from my eyes. Says the Malbim, and we'll quote only part of it. Meisef panav el Adonai, he turns to Hashem and he says, Omar, mashechatzalta es nafshi mimaves, hagam shenigzor alay misa, death was decided for me. V'meshechatzalta es eini min dima, shebachisi lefonecha, I cried out before you. Hine bezeh chalatzta es ragli midechi, you have taken out my legs from stumbling. Bozeh hitzaltani, with that you have saved me. Shelo yidchu raglai miderech hatov v'yashar. I no longer stray. I no longer move off from the path, from that which you have given me. Es haleich lifnei Adonai b'atzos hachayim. I will walk amongst the living. No longer should I be concerned. No longer should I be afraid that I'm going to die. So here we have a person who was struggling, who was in the great depths, who was at a seriously dangerous point in their being and in the world. And then they calm themselves because they know that Hashem is going to care for them, Hashem is going to watch them, and in fact, Hashem does. He'emanti, verse 10, ki adaber ani anisi mi'od. I trusted even when I spoke. Now you could say that ani anisi mi'od, that I am greatly afflicted, is part of the speech, or that perhaps in the next one, where he says, ani amarti b'chavzi, I said in my haste, kol ha'odam kozev, where I have said that all of men are liars, literally. We'll see what that means in a moment. What is he talking about here? So he says, I believed when I spoke. when I was afflicted a lot, when I had a great suffering in my life, I still believed. I said, in haste, Kol ha'adam kozev. One could take that to mean that all men are liars, or as the Das Mikra, who we don't quote often enough, perhaps, in our learning, the Das Mikra, but I do recommend certainly, understands it as a larger statement. A person in that great depth, in that great place, in that dangerous situation, is lamenting all of human existence. There's no value in it. There's no purpose in it, if this is how it's going to end. So in that place, I still believed, even as it was that I said, that there is no meaning to existence. That it was lost. I believed that, even though as I now speak to you now, in this moment, I believed that in haste, and it was a mistake. Shifting now from that part of the story, the prayer itself there, to sort of a mode where he's recounting his own personal reaction or what it is that he's going to do for that, leading into the last two verses, which is in fact the actualization of what the person is saying. So here you have like this. Well, how can I repay Hashem for all what he's done for me? Notice the kol tagmulohi, relating back to an earlier where we said gamal alaychi, there you have your relationship, there you have your connection. What's he going to do? So now it's again another process. First, kosh yeshuosasa, I will lift up the cup of salvation, uveshem Adonai ekra. What's a person going to do? Publicly, I'm going to state out what it is that has happened to me and how Hashem has saved me. I'm going to make a public spectacle of it. I'm going to raise up a glass in thanks and ode to Hashem. And then Nidarai Ladunai Ashalem Negdana Lechol Amo. Nidarai is a korban. My vow I will fulfill to Hashem. Negdana Lechol Amo. Now I'm going to do that before the entire presence, the multitude, a gathering, a public spectacle, a public celebration, a public declaration of what has happened to me. Yakar b'nei Adonai mafsal l'chasidav, a very difficult text, literally understood as precious in the sight of Hashem is the death of his saints, which is very hard to understand. How does one understand that word? Yakar. How is it possible that it's Yakar? The way perhaps to understand it is that it's kasheh. It's kasheh. I believe it's Ibn Ezra here. I simply can't find it at the moment. Ibn Ezra who says that the word yakar means kasheh. And the Medrash in Shochar Tov also says that Kodesh Baruch Hu, that it's kasheh. Kasheh. It's difficult. Meaning in context it makes sense that the person who was saved in such a manner and is offering this praise in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, in front of a multitude of a gathering of people, is going to say that a Kodesh Baruch Hu saves because it's difficult. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to die. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want his chassidim to go. The Medrash there that is quoted is an idea that Hashem doesn't want the tzaddikim to leave, but that he has to have that happen for a variety of reasons beyond the scope of now. One of which is simply for the sake of history to go forward and for others to take the mantle of leadership upon them, it has to be that we have to have some of our leaders departing us. But it's difficult. It's so hard. How could it be that it would be that it would be precious? Precious so the tzaddikim are precious. Not that the death should be precious. Verse 16 and 17. He's gathered the coast, he's gathered the people. He's spoken about the tzaddikim, and now Ano Adonai ki ani avdecha, a three-part text. Hashem, I beseech you, Hashem. It's a lashon tefillah we know so well. Ani avdecha, I am your servant. Ani avdecha ben amasecha, I am the servant. I am the son of your handmaid. Pitach delimosera, you have loosened my bands. We talked before. Afafuni michavle maves mitzro mitzauni. earlier on, Mitzrayim, when a person was bounded up, a person was constricted, the person is held down, and here the bands are broken, the person is offering their supplication, death was chasing them, he's now declaring his statement, I am your servant, I am the son of your servant, so on and so forth, and he's offering it out. To you, Hashem, I will offer the sacrifice, and I will call out in your name. Thus the end of the bracket. So what we have here is a person in great danger, in great supplication, with great supplication, of grave concern for their life, their salvation, their concern that their offering will not be enough. What can they possibly do to repay? What, in fact, it is that they are going to do to repay? And now the last two verses: I will pay my vows to Hashem in the presence of all His people. That's exactly verse 14. Not only that, in public, but at the Beis Hashem, in the Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim. In front of Hashem, in front of His people, in His city, in His Mikdash, hallelujah, and everyone should join in that tefillah. We continue tomorrow with Kuf Yud Zayin, 117.